Among the compelling stories we heard in the immediate days following the onslaught of Hurricane Katrina were those about people and their pets. Many people put themselves in peril to remain with their pets. Others had to say goodbye with only the hope that they might see their pet again. If you have a story to tell, give us a call at 1-800-989-TALK or send us an email at totn@npr.org. Bark Magazine is a quarterly magazine focused on the relationship between humans and dogs. Their latest issue, their biggest issue ever, is a Katrina special. And joining us now are the co-founders of Bark Magazine, Cameron Wu and Claudia Kavchinska. They come to us by way of station KQED. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you. Hello, Neil and Leanne.
Hi.
Yes, hello, Neil and Leanne.
Hi, both of you. Let's start with some of the compelling stories in this issue. And one of the ones in this issue, and one of the ones that was most compelling to me, is the story of James Mercadal, I think is how you pronounce his name. He is someone without sight, and he lost his dog or was separated from his dog. Tell us his story.
Well, James was, like so many individuals, taken by surprise by the impact and the fury of the storm and later the flooding. He was forced to evacuate his home, and he left his dogs. He has two dogs. One is a seeing eye dog, which he calls a leader dog, and then a pet companion, as he calls his other dog. And like so many folks, he was persuaded to leave the dogs behind with the idea that he'd be able to go back with a matter of hours or days to bring them and to evacuate them. And unfortunately, they were separated for 10 long days.
How were they reunited?
Well, they were reunited through the efforts of dozens of people, friends and family, people he didn't know, people who worked for rescue organizations, animal rescue organizations, and the National Guard. Through this network of just people helping people and eventually helping his dogs to find him. And he actually found his other dog, his pet dog, in Michigan at a rescue center there. So it took a long time, but there was an eventual happy ending.
I understand they asked him what the dog looked like, if he could identify. Of course, he's blind.
Exactly. And, you know, that goes to the heart of one of the many lessons that we learned from Katrina in respect to animals and how all of us who have animals in our lives need to be better prepared for a disaster. And one of those things is to give proper ID to your pet companions.
Elaborate a little bit on that. I mean, we've talked a lot about how humans can prepare for disaster. How can humans prepare for disaster who have pets?
Well, we do have a 10-point checklist in our new issue. And there's some things that are very easy, some very easy steps to take. ID obviously is important, whether it's a tag or if it's microchipping, which is something that is proving more and more popular these days.
That's where you implant one of these microchips under the skin of your pet?
That's right. And also tattooing in the inside of a dog's ear, things like that. But what's really important, I think, is to have your own personal evacuation plan, not only the local plan in your area or the state plan, but you and your neighbors should come up with an evacuation plan as well.
I think one of the things that people learned from this was that they had to be responsible for the care and well-being of their pets. And unfortunately, because there was a lack of an overall plan and a lot of misinformation, very well-intentioned people who care deeply for their pets were advised or decided to leave their pets behind. And I think something that I would take from this is not to leave your pets behind.
Hmm. There were also some less well-intentioned people you write about who deliberately left their pets behind.
Well, you know, I think in that scenario, it's a situation that people have to make choices for looking out for their own personal safety as well as their families. And unfortunately, pets, in a lot of people's view, are further down the line. The good news is that there have been some great things to result from this tragedy, and that's some legislation that I think will really make a difference in how people prepare and respond to animals in disasters.
explain that. There was actually a bill introduced in Congress, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. This is Claudia talking. Yes, with Representative Tom Lantos from California and Chris Shays of Connecticut. So it's a bipartisan bill. It's called H.R. 3858, and the acronym is PETS, very aptly acronymed, but it stands for PETS Evacuation and Transportation Standards Act. And the other day I was actually talking to Representative Lantos's office to get an update, and where it is right now is it's in a committee, it's in the Transportation Committee. Hopefully we'll come up for vote on December the 7th. But what this act does, it's what it would do, is to require state and local emergency management agencies to make plans for people with their pets to be able to safely evacuate. I think it's a wonderful bill to support, and I certainly urge your listeners to call their representatives to show their support for the bill.
This is something that also actually worked when Hurricane Rita hit, if I'm not mistaken, the mayor of Galveston and the governor were clear that, first of all, evacuees could bring pets to the shelters.
Yeah, which was an amazing short period of time where policymakers learned a very important lesson. But overall, not just because the policymakers urged people to evacuate with their pets, but also the Red Cross and local humane organizations kicked in and started coordinating the sheltering of pets with their humans, which is the first time that has happened, and hopefully in the future more of that will happen as well.
We're talking with Claudia Kavchinska and Cameron Wu, co-founders of Bark Magazine, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's get a listener on the line. This is Donna. Donna calling from Grafton, Massachusetts.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm a small animal veterinarian. I'm studying at the Center for Animals and Public Policy at the Cummings Veterinary School right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious to know about specifically elementary school children and the issue, the resilience issue, and whether any of these children who have been separated from their pets, are there any programs in place for them in the elementary schools, whether they be pets in the classroom or anything like that, to help them with some of the coping that they have to do?
Are you aware of any of that, either Cameron or Claudia?
No, I have not heard of it, but it's a great idea, and it certainly calls for a follow-up article in our magazine or perhaps program on Talk of the Nation, but that's a great idea.
Yeah, there's an organization called the Delta Society that is very active in helping people cope and grieve over lost pets. So I'll have to do some research to see if they're extending that into the schools in the aftermath of Katrina.
Good question, Donna. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's talk now with Ray. Ray is calling us from Jacksonville, Florida.
Hi. How are you?
Very well, thanks.
Listen, I was in New Orleans for about a week and after Katrina and just, well, I was there during Rita as well, but in between Rita and Katrina and Rita, got a chance to hang out with the urban search and rescue personnel who were doing search and rescue of all of the buildings, particularly in the lower Ninth Ward area. And it was interesting because they noticed that there were some animals, dogs in particular. And so what they did every day out of their own pocket, they bought dog food, and they would leave a 25-pound bag of dog food, cut it open, and a large pan of water. They'd go away at the end of the day, and they'd come back the following day and found out that the dogs had gone and had eaten out of the bag of dog food. And so they termed those dogs ghost dogs because they would never make themselves noticeable during the day. But at night, they'd apparently come out and eat and then go back in hiding, apparently because they were so traumatized. I thought it was an interesting story. And as you talk to the urban rescue personnel, they'll tell you about the ghost dogs, and that's who they are.
Thanks very much for your call.
Okay.
What about cats? I mean, I know your magazine is called Bark, but cats were also left behind.
Cats were left behind, and unfortunately, some folks had to make a choice between a dog or a cat if they had pets of both species. And I think some people felt that cats had a better chance of survival on their own because they are a little bit more independent. You know, the gentleman who just called talks about the heroics of people in response to Katrina and their efforts of the first responders. And it was a huge, massive effort that is incredible. They did an incredible job. And One of the interesting things is that there's so many people who volunteered on their own, paid their own way, they're out of their own pocket, to help in whatever way they could, whether it was going into these areas and either rescuing dogs or at some point caring and feeding for the animals that had been abandoned. I think that those folks deserve just a huge amount of credit.
And Claudia, we just have a couple of seconds left, but I thought one of the interesting points you made in the magazine was that just as the it's unfair to ask the Red Cross to take up the burden for people, it's unfair to ask voluntary organizations alone to take up the burden for the animals in a disaster.
Well, certainly it is. And that's, again, why we need a federal coordination. And in the federal bill, again, 3858, I'm going to plug that, okay, is an important component because that would hopefully not just alert the local and state authorities that they need to coordinate, but, again, through a grassroots effort, it's so important to get out there and save the animals.
Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Cameron Wu and Claudia Kaczynska are co-founders of Bark Magazine, and they joined us from the studios of our member station in San Francisco, KQED. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan.
And I'm Leanne Hansen in Washington.